If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
We are now in the process of defeating the radical left, the Marxists, the anarchists, the agitators, the looters, and people who, in many instances, have absolutely no clue what they are doing.
Yeah, that's true. When they take down the wrong statues, abolitionists, individuals who fought to end slavery in our country have no idea. Man, they were even going after Jimi Hendrix statues in some parts of the country. How are you, friends? Thanks for tuning in. The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez from Dana's Southern Command office in McAllen, Texas. Where's that? Well, that's the U.S.-Mexican border. That's just north of the river. We're on blessed soil, still in the U.S. side. And it's Texas. It's a double blessing. It's an honor that you join in today. Now, if you want to join the conversation at any time, what you need to do is call 844-344-DANA. And speak with producer Steve and give him a good excuse, good argument why you want to come on the show, and he'll line you up. We can talk about the day's news, and man alive, do we have a lot to talk about. Now, I'm going to lead with some breaking news for the day. We've been tuning into some of the newscasts. The High Court unanimously, and see, this is what I find just fascinating about this, because I, just quick opinion, and I'll share a bit more about this later, my prerogative, because when we carry the show, the Dana Show, here in Deep South Texas, I'm one of the proud affiliates, KURV Radio South Texas, we carry Hour 2 and 3. And I want to talk a bit more about this in the second hour. But you need to know that the Electoral College, the High Court says, don't mess with it. And it's a unanimous court that says, don't mess with it. Even the Uber Libs, the Uber Lefties, they said, don't mess with the Electoral College. The High Court is saying that individuals who are electors, who are sent by the party that won in the state, the Electoral College, let's say, for example, Texas, is red, and I hope it stays red for a long time. California is always blue. The numbers, favor the lefties. California used to be red. Now it's blue. But once the presidential election is done, once it's all said and done, people can't just show up to the big meeting to send their delegates, their votes to the Electoral College willy-nilly. Say, well, I don't, we don't like, Hillary Clinton, and we're going to vote for, say Bernie Sanders. We don't like Donald Trump. We're going to vote for Ron Paul, for example, and change the outcome in a very close election, especially when it's, the popular vote. Remember that? The popular vote for Hillary Clinton. Thank you, California. A couple of counties in California. And in New York, you had a few more million people. In the end, the numbers favored Hillary Clinton. And the popular vote. We're not set up for popular vote. Our Constitution sets us up for an electoral college. And just because another candidate got the popular vote, that does not allow states to go rogue that vote, for example, the Republican, and say, no, Hillary Clinton got the majority. We're going to give our electors, the people that represent the party, no, you Republicans, you guys stay home because it's the Democrats who won. Now, the Democrats, electors, you guys are the ones that need to show up and throw your votes into this Electoral College. No, that can't happen. And I just think that even the lefties on this court, and I can imagine what was taking place behind the scenes, conversations that these high court justices were talking to each other and debating this thing behind the scenes. I'm thinking even the lefties recognize, in light of the present violence that you see in American cities, in light of the killing and the destruction, the mayhem that's taking place in some cities, and mayors unwilling to arrest control of their city and provide public safety. I think in light of all that, I think even the lefties realize that, no, we don't need to throw into the mix more uncertainty and doubt when it comes to popular vote versus electoral college. No, it is the laws of our nation say it's the electoral college. And the reason I want to expand on this a little bit more later on this breaking news of the day is because, unfortunately, you know, from my perspective, and mind you, if you've been listening long enough to the Dana Show, you realize a little bit of my background. I volunteered as chairman in my local market for the GOP because it represented my values, and I needed to do more than just talk to the microphone. So I did the whole thing, and I experienced the whole faithless elector as a term, somebody who is chosen to be the elector of the party, to be sent up to the state capitol and vote for, send up the electoral votes for how the state voted and contribute that to the national count and eventually declare the winner via the electoral college. Well, we had here in my market, I had one of those faithless electors, and I'll tell you how all that took place. So the court majority, again, overwhelming majority, it was a unanimous vote, said that to give way to faithless electors to have a say otherwise would risk chaos. And what do we see plenty of right now in the news? Plenty of chaos on the streets. So I find it surprising, just amazing that even the super lefties voted unanimously to protect the Electoral College. That's amazing. Speaking of chaos, man alive, another weekend. Heartbreaking news out of Atlanta. In fact, Steve-O, if you have Sequoria Williamson, I do believe it's cut 10, Steve-O. I believe this is the father of this 8-year-old child who was killed in Atlanta this past weekend. Go ahead, Steve-O, cut 10.
They say Black Lives Matter. You killed your own. Killed your own this time. Just because of burial. They killed my baby because she crossed the burial and made a U-turn. You killed a child. She ain't do nothing to nobody.
They didn't give us time to make a U-turn. They started shooting on my car before we could even make a U-turn. Shooting my tires out. Like, why?
But Black Lives Matter.
This heart-wrenching.
Yeah, heart-wrenching. Guys, that's a family, this 8-year-old baby in Atlanta. Shot on the 4th of July. Now, why? Well, if you've been keeping up with the news, look, in Atlanta where Rashard Brooks was killed in that exchange with a police officer who's now facing charges in Georgia, you know, all that aside, you know, this guy, Brooks, likely intoxicated drinking and driving, had this encounter with police. He grabs the taser gun, runs away. He shoots at the police officer. Police officer shoots back at him in the same place where the local prosecutors at one point would say that cops could not use tasers against suspects because it's a lethal weapon. Oh, now it's not considered a lethal weapon because the suspect shooting at a police officer and the police officer's gun, all that. Well, there's been this roadblock, this staging area, this area where these protesters have not left since the incident where Rashard Brooks died in this encounter with police, in the shooting incident. They've been at it complaining and protesting all this time. And it's been rather lawless. Yes, there has been some violence, but it had to take the killing of a little girl, of an 8-year-old child, a baby. She's a baby. She's an 8-year-old. I have an 8-year-old. I mean, I refer to him as my baby. I just joke around with him. But it took the death of this 8-year-old child in Atlanta to finally wake up the mayor. Keisha Bottoms, during a press conference on the shooting, all these people that are around there protesting continue to wail and scream and protest about Mr. Brooks being shot in Black Lives Matter and time to reform the system, all that, all the violence and fights, whatever's been taking place since the incident. Now, I would it be a stretch for me to call it similar to the Summer of Love up in Seattle? You know, one of the areas that has been surrendered by a city, was surrendered by a city. This staging area, this blockade that was set up near that Wendy's restaurant. It's city property that in essence was ceded to these protesters. What, to let them get it out of their system? And they set up barriers. The family, this 8-year-old child's family, they come up on this barrier, they try to get around it, and they get shot. Not by one, I think it was like at least two shooters were shooting at the family. 8-year-old baby's dead. And it took the life, it took this incident where the life of this child was lost for the mayor to finally wake up and say, okay, that's it. All these discussions, all these negotiations, all this talk about what to do, how to reform, meet your demands, it's all done. I'm done. You're out of there. Why did it have to come to that? Much like up in Seattle, right? This Chaz Chop thing that where the mayor up in Seattle ceded control of a much bigger area of the city, 6-7 block area, and they set up this, you know, in her mind, the mayor up in Seattle, in her mind, this festival type scenario where it's a summer of love and it looks like a farm. I don't think she said farmer's market, but that's the first thing I was thinking. All sorts of pharmaceuticals they were selling there. But they had a barrier, they had a wall, they had a fence, they had armed security up in Seattle. Same thing in Atlanta, in that little area where they've been protesting ever since Mr. Brooks was shot by police. The same area was ceded. It was a much smaller area, but it was ceded. And nobody could come in and out without control. And the protesters, they gained control. Why does it need to get to that point? Up in Seattle, two people died. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was two people who died up there. And that, oh, now the mayor grows a pair up in Seattle and decides to do something about it. Now it's time to dismantle everything. Police go in there. Finally, what they should have done hours after these Chaz / Chop organizers did, they go in there and seize control of city streets. The city has been paid by taxpayers to provide public safety. The police officers are supposed to provide the public safety, the leadership in the city, all cities. Lessons learned, in my opinion, lessons learned from this mess up in Seattle, this mess in Atlanta. There doesn't need to be any bloodshed. As soon as individuals, protesters, anyone seizes control of an area of town, local police need to go in there, sent by the mayor, sent by local leadership, sent by the county judge. They need to go in there and assert control, establish the peace, send the protesters, the rioters, more importantly, rioters, looters, individuals who are cornering and setting up barriers and saying, this is my portion of the city. I'm not giving it back until you meet my demands. No, that's lawlessness. You allow that lawlessness to fester, that's what you get. You get bloodshed. What good comes of it? Absolutely no good comes from it. Anyway, a little bit more violence to share with you here in a little bit. It's already 19 minutes after the hour. You want to join the program at any time. It's 844-344-3262. You can listen online, danaradio.com. You are listening to The Dana Show from her Southern Command office in McAllen, Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Thanks for joining us today.
If you haven't tried Superbeet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Superbeet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Superbeet Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Superbeet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Watch all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on Facebook, YouTube, or The First, channel 248 on Pluto TV.
Now we're demanding action for Sikoria Turner and for all of the other people who were shot in Atlanta last night and over the past few weeks, because the reality is this. These aren't police officers shooting people on the streets of Atlanta. These That's are members right. of the community shooting each other.
Yep.
And in this case, it is the worst possible outcome.
That's the mayor in Atlanta, Keisha Bottoms. The violence was intense this past weekend, Independence Day weekend in Atlanta. Oh, by the way, welcome to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez from Dana's Southern Command Office. I christened it, her southern affiliate here on the U.S.-Mexican border in McAllen. Independence Day violence in Hotlanta, many other shootings. So that was just this weekend. The mayor was referring to shootings all the way back to the time right after Rashard Brooks was shot. But this past weekend, multiple shootings, all being investigated. In fact, there was one report out of Atlanta that had a group of 60 to maybe 90 rioters. They went in there, they vandalized the Georgia Department of Public Safety HQ. It's the state police HQ. And damaged windows, broke windows, spray painting the building. They were starting small fires. Where is the state? Where are the state troopers? Where are the police? I'm reminded of the at least half dozen incidents back during the Obama administration and some city mayors and administrators back then saying, oh, just let them get it out of their system. They're all upset because of some of the incidents involving police and encounters with certain suspects and some folks being shot as a result. No, just let them get it out of the system. No, you do not tolerate lawlessness. It only spirals into more lawlessness. Those are the lessons that we should take away from this. And I would hope that even Democrat mayors and county judges all across the nation would look at this example and say, no more babies dead, no more innocent people dead, no more retired police officers dead as a result of all this violence that should have, could have, needs to be prevented in the future. All right, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Okay, well, one of the big breaking stories I told you, Supreme Court holding up the Electoral College. That's right, unanimous vote. They don't want any chaos whatsoever. Unanimous vote, and the High Court, the Electoral College, stands. Cannot have any faithless electors. Also, another decision from the Supreme Court upholding about a 30-year-old federal ban on robocalls to your cell phone. Other news from the High Court today. Let's see. I suppose you could change the name from Home Depot to Woke Depot. Home Depot changing the way it sells rope after they say they found some nooses inside the stores. They're no longer selling spools of rope. Not available. All pre-cut rope now. All pre-cut based on lengths that are very commonly requested. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Join the conversation, 844-344-DANA.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
I don't know that the governor needs to do a statewide order at this point, but I want him to give us locally the ability to be able to do it so that I would have the ability to do that on Wednesday in my city. That's when we're going to get our next round of numbers, or Houston could do it, or San Antonio could do it. I think that is perhaps more in the world of possible here, the ability to have that local control.
That's Steve Adler. He's the mayor up in Austin, Texas. How are you, friends? I'm Sergio Sanchez in for our friend Dana Lash. This is the Dana Show. Yeah, Steve Adler, talking about the tug of war in Texas, if you're not familiar with this, Governor Abbott, a few weeks back, he arrested control on local decision making when it came to, for example, mandatory masks. Otherwise, you get fined or jailed for it. You might remember that hairdresser up in North Texas, up where Dana lives, up in North Texas, this hairdresser who opened up her business. despite the lockdown orders, the emergency order, lockdown orders. And, you know, she's sent to jail and the big hoopla related to all that. And because of that case, and for example, in Houston, the new county judge in Harris County, which is Houston, she, that judge out there, young judge, a Democrat, yes, because thanks to Beto O'Rourke, when he ran for office in Houston, they flushed out all Republicans. All Republicans got flushed out of office. JPs, county commissioners, district court judges, county judge. Ms. Lena Hidalgo is the county judge in Houston. And she put in place a mandatory face mask ordinance, a law. Otherwise, you get fined or maybe get arrested for it. Well, the governor said, enough's enough. And this was during the time where in North Texas, the hairdresser was in jail and we're trying to get her out of jail. And the governor changed the laws in Texas. No, you can't be jailed if you open up your business, despite the fact that we told you to shut down because we're under a COVID-19 emergency. You can't do that. And you, Lena Hidalgo, Judge Hidalgo in Houston, you can't be arresting people or fining people for this mandatory mask ordinance. And so Austin, the governor, arrested control. So, okay, what I say, I'm the governor of Texas. What I say is final. So that was a few weeks back. And now in Texas, we've got hot spots. In fact, I'm sitting in one. Deep South Texas, the border. There's 1.5 million people are on the U.S.-Mexican border between Brownsville and, you know, Lake Falcon, here in McAllen, all these places. We're a hotspot. We are traditionally an underserved area of the nation when it comes to medical services. We got about a dozen or so hospitals. And the COVID floor space that they designated, well, it's full now, all the COVID space. Pretty much all the hospitals, the 15% floor space that dedicated is full of patients. There's spillover. There's people waiting in the ambulances to get in to the ER 4, 5, 6 hours. There's people in the ER waiting for hours on end to be transferred to a COVID unit, and they're expanding floor space for COVID. So we're a hotspot. Houston is a hotspot. Houston is really messed up right now, which reminds me, we're talking about the tug of war in Texas, the Republican Party of Texas, the leadership, the Republican committee people for the state of Texas, they voted to go ahead and meet in person. I believe it's like 10 days from now, like on the 16th or 17th of the month. They're going to Houston for their state convention in person. And Houston right now is also full. Their COVID space is full. Their hospitals are full. They're at capacity, and they're a hot spot at the moment. Gee, I wonder why all those protests maybe. 60-some-odd thousand people protesting downtown Houston. George Floyd killed, and 60,000 people out there yelling and screaming and protesting and hollering and wanting all sorts of reforms and not adhering to COVID standards. Yeah, maybe that played a role, don't you think? Just maybe. Oh, but yeah, I think it was an Associated Press assessment of all these protests. Oh, that's right, the Associated Press and some of the data they gather. It said, no, there's no evidence that all these protests led to an increase in COVID cases across the country. You don't say. Which, let me branch off even more. Since in California, Gavin Newsom has said that the choirs, remember that one? Oh, you didn't hear? Choirs in California, the state of California has told choirs, you folks can't be gathering and standing next to each other and singing like this, just belching all sorts of harmonies and songs. You can't be doing that. That's against the law. That is now against the law in California. Excuse me, Governor. I seem to recall 60-some-odd thousand people standing shoulder to shoulder like the greatest size choir that you can imagine. And many markets in this country, tens of thousands of people standing shoulder to shoulder, screaming and belching all sorts of profanities and whatever else they wanted to say. You know, kind of like a choir, but you know, the choir is much nicer about it. They have much nicer lyrics. Yeah, kind of like the same thing. So we should be fine, Governor, in California. And by the way, when exactly did we start accepting government telling churches what to do? When exactly did we cross the line where we just sit back and accept this destruction of the First Amendment, this right? This, it's supposed to be separate, right? You guys on the left always calling for, you know, you bend over backwards trying to find references and using non-constitutional language, saying separation of church and state, separate, keep everything separate. So you don't want the church telling government what to do, then I tell you what, amigo, you can't be, the government can't be telling the church what to do. It goes both ways, friend. It goes both ways. Anyway, so here in Texas, the Republicans, they were in a tug of war late last week. They're still going to Houston for the big coronavirus convention. I think if I remember correctly, I think they have an opt out to go electronic, to go Zoom convention. I think they do, if I remember reading this correctly. I was doing a lot of behind the scenes texting and talking with these Republican committee people that made the decision. I think the end of it was like 4-2, 4-2 vote. It's actually 40-20, but 4-2 votes of people going to Houston. So stay tuned to Texas, see what happens with the Republican convention. Hey, did you hear that hydroxychloroquine? Yeah, the this medicine that has been with us about a generation and a half now and is used by people who suffer from lupus, for example, and other conditions, and is used by our military, I understand. When our military are sent to certain parts of the world, they provide hydroxychloroquine to our soldiers. This hydroxychloroquine, which, of course, President Trump latched on to early on during the COVID-19 shutdown darkness, the weird season we're going into. We had no idea what we were doing, and in my opinion, mistakenly shut down the entire U.S. economy, and now we're trying to crawl out of it right now. I'm not saying we shouldn't have done anything. I'm just saying the way we did it wrong. But right now, it's just shoulda, woulda, coulda. We know better now. We kind of followed the example of China. China shut down. They didn't shut down all of China, but we shut down the entire U.S. economy. It's kind of weird. But anyway, we were kind of learning as we go. So as the president, you remember, had his daily briefings with his coronavirus colleagues, his doctors, Dr. Blix and Dr. Fauci, everybody else, talking the daily thing. Well, the president caught on. He latched on to early comments about hydroxychloroquine being potentially good for people suffering from COVID-19. Oh, and of course, the media, the leftists, the Trump haters, everybody, they weren't going to have it. Trump is trying to sell us snake oil. How? And every single study that they could find that shot down hydroxychloroquine as a therapy for people with COVID-19. They would grab onto it and trumpet that in top of the hour news, President Trump hailing hydroxychloroquine with no proof whatsoever, and it is dangerous for people. There's cardiac incidents, and all that. It's still being used, people. Smarter doctors know better. It's still being used. They will find anything necessary to make sure they could apply it to people so they can survive this COVID-19. The very few people that get very, very sick, hospitalized, and intubated as a result of this thing. From Detroit's Henry Ford Health System comes this report. 13% fewer hospitalized patients died as a result of being given hydroxychloroquine. Now, this little write-up, this news report, it's not devoid of any criticism. Of course, you got to, you know, from the left, you got to cover your tracks. You got to make sure we weren't completely wrong about that. Because later on it says, yeah. But critics say the survivability rate is due to a steroid that was taken by the patient, not the hydroxychloroquine. Anyway, back to the violence this past weekend, Independence Day weekend. Not only Chicago, as I was telling you earlier this hour, this beautiful little baby, this 8-year-old, not only Atlanta, where that 8-year-old child was killed, but Chicago, Illinois, still a mess. Man alive. It was like almost like 70 people got shot this weekend, 70 plus. What was it, like 14, 16 dead? In Chicago, and that's just this past weekend. Every weekend is a constant drumbeat of death and shooting and mayhem and lawlessness and more death and more black-on-black violence and more black-on-black killing. Surge of gun violence in major U.S. cities this past weekend. claiming multiple lives, lots of little kids. Chicago, a 7-year-old girl shot in the head while she was playing with a group of kids on the 4th of July. A 14-year-old killed in a separate Chicago shooting. And, of course, you heard the one in Atlanta. Washington, D.C., an 11-year-old boy was shot and killed while running into a house to grab a phone charger. That's just a small sample of what's taking place in our country. And in Chicago, of course, leading the way. Every single weekend, they lead the way. Chicago, Illinois, with the strongest ordinances and laws when it comes to gun ownership. Taking away from citizens the right to self-defense and taking away the Second Amendment right of citizens to self-defense. We've been placing all these ordinances, all these laws of gun control. That's not working. But, of course, that story does not fit the mindset and narrative of the leftist media, nor does it fit the Black Lives narrative, the Black Lives organization narrative. And let me say this, Black Lives Matters, Black Lives do matter. Absolutely they matter, Black Lives, all Black Lives matter. Black Lives do matter. And we are forced to parse between BLM, the organization that is a Marxist organization. And at the beginning of this hour, you heard President Trump talking about defeating the radical left, the Marxists. BLM, Black Lives Matter, the organization BLM, it's been mainstreamed because of this surge of emotion and anger and frustration. But the failures of our communities and our nation within the inner city and within the Black communities and lack of proper training and addressing the small sliver of police that need to be retrained or need to be taken out of the force, that's not Black Lives Matter, the organization. Black Lives Matter, BLM, is a Marxist organization. It's a dangerous organization. They have been mainstreamed. And cowardly industry, cowardly businesses, cowardly sports leagues in this country are now bowing at the BLM altar, thinking they're doing something good. These are dangerous times. Black Lives Matter, the organization, should be championing the cause, looking into the reasons why there is so much black-on-black violence, black-on-black shooting. Why they have communities that have substandard educational results despite having the same school districts across the nation, same math, same English, same science, social, the whole thing. The books are the same. Why are we failing our kids in schools? None of these issues are going to be addressed. All they want is to tear down this country. My wife and friends, some of them, they get really frustrated with what's being seen on television. And they see the polling data and the swing states. Oh, Donald Trump is behind in 12 polls in swing states against Joe Biden. I am convinced that if Donald Trump continues to own the message of law and order, continues to own this message of preserving our nation, doing what we must do to preserve law and order and preserve our nation, the left, the cowardly left, will continue to bow at the BLM organizational altar. And it's my opinion. I do not believe the numbers are there. I do not believe that people will go vote on behalf of BLM, the organization, and the Democrat Party that does everything that BLM, the organization, wants them to do. I don't believe that's going to happen. I refuse to believe that. I believe that Americans, all of us, Democrat, Republican, Independents, I believe we love our country. And we will vote to preserve our country and our history and do what's right for all communities, including Black lives who do matter. It's 10 minutes to the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio, filling in for Dana today. You want to join the conversation, 844-344-3262.
Delivering the truth, online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
Appreciate you tuning in. This is Sergio in for Dana today. You want to join the conversation next hour, 844-344-DANA. Listen live, danaradio.com. His name is Charles Edward Daniels, an American music icon, a singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist. Of course, his contributions to country, southern rock, bluegrass, undeniable. And he was right. Charlie Daniels said, devil went down to Georgia. And Charlie Daniels skunked him on the fiddle, right? I guess that dude stuck around and started making a mess in Atlanta and Georgia and all this unrest, all this nasty stuff. Charlie Daniels had passed away, friend. That's the reason I'm talking about it. Charlie Daniels has passed away. I don't know if it was today or maybe yesterday, but we just got word of it today that he passed away. Age 83, Charlie Daniels has gone to be with the Lord. And in the few seconds I have this hour, let's send this hour some good news. An Afghan translator who spent 9 years risking his life to protect U.S. forces, yes, and being an interpreter and a translator in Afghanistan. On the 4th of July, friend, this Afghan translator became a U.S. citizen thanks to a soldier, a service member who fought for him so he could become a U.S. citizen. His duties as a translator never required it, but Janish Shinwari saved the lives of several U.S. soldiers. One of them decided to return the favor and fight for him to become a U.S. citizen. If he would have stayed in Afghanistan, the soldier said, he likely would not be alive today. Janice was aiding U.S. forces over a decade. And in 2008, Captain Matt Zeller was about to die during a Taliban fight until Janice came in and helped save him. Well, the Taliban in pursuit, Janice and the soldier began working furiously to get him a visa to leave the country. They started an online petition. They went to Congress, talked to Congress people, online money raising, $35,000, sponsored Janice, and on the 4th of July, became a U.S. citizen. This is The Dana Show, 844-344-DANA.
It's The Dana Show.
This segment of the Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at keltecweapons.com.
We will never allow an angry mob to tear down our statues, erase our history, indoctrinate our children, or trample on our freedoms.
President Trump, this past holiday weekend,
we will safeguard our values.
Standing up, unlike local mayors and county people across the country, standing up for the rule of law, for the law, for policing, for peace officers to do their job, and to finally provide peace in a community. And instead of allowing for lawlessness to take seed, take root in a community, trying to nip this in the bud real early. That's President Trump celebrating the 4th of July this past weekend and doing his part, saying, look, you tear up statues, you tear up monuments. No, absolutely not. You're breaking the law, and we will prosecute you, especially if you do that on federal land. How are you, friends? I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for Dana Lash today. Thank you, Dana. Lord bless you, friend. You and Chris and Brother Sugarcane, Steve, thank you so much for calling us today. Broadcasting the Dana Show from what I refer to as her Southern Command office. McAllen, Texas here. North of the river, blessed soil. It's the U.S. It's Texas. It's a double blessing. That's all that counts. We are seeing a campaign by America-hating leftists to take down the history and institutions and Even the pop culture in our country is being attacked. And previous campaigns that they failed at miserably. For example, changing names of sports teams. They have new wind in their sails because of the social unrest and upheaval taking place right now. And all this emotion is just flailing aimlessly in our country, just tearing things down. And we have, in my opinion, nothing but cowardly leaders of industry, cowards in sports and entertainment that are bending a knee to the rage mob. For example, in sports, I'm expecting this season, more than likely, Cleveland Indians, they're probably going to change their name. That campaign, that's probably going to happen. I was looking at just some Twitter posting just moments back. It looks like it's full throttle on the NFL side, full throttle. to get rid of the Redskins name. Now, that really doesn't mean anything in the end of it. Look, they're private business. They can do whatever they want. And quite frankly, I really don't give, H-E double hockey sticks. I don't give a flip. I lost my mojo with the NFL when they started taking any. What was it, like 3-4 years ago when Colin Kaepernick started doing this thing? I got a big American flag in my studio because of what they did some years back. And it was bad then. It's bad now, and we should not be accepting. But the NFL has already they already bent a knee to this rage mob. They're bending a knee, and they're kneeling at this MLB. They're kneeling at this Black Lives Matter altar. Again, the organization, not the truth. Black lives do matter. All black lives matter. But this BLM organization, that's a Marxist organization. And it is taking our country and our pop culture astray and taking with it industry and sports and popular thinking in the wrong direction, like sheep, taking us in the wrong direction. People are following these leaders of industry, these leaders of sports. So I got a sports pile of stuff here. I just want to get out of the way, and then I'll share with you some of my thoughts on the high court decision today on the Electoral College. Let me get this stuff out of the way. The Indians, considering that name change for the franchise, it's failed before, but because of all the unrest right now, MLB franchise saying that they are, quote, committed to engaging the community and the stakeholders, determine the best path forward, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. On Sunday, the manager for the Cleveland Indians saying that he supports the idea, saying that he thinks it's time to move forward. Since 1915, the Indians have been the Indians. So I'm guessing once they change this, what happens to all those great Major League movies? Remember the comedy series, Major League? I love those movies. Those are some great, great movies. Anytime I come across, I'm flipping the channel, and if I do have a few minutes to kill, just sit down and watch the Boob Tube, and I see Major League with Charlie Sheen and all the other people on there. I'll sit there and watch that. You can just watch that over and over. So many quotes and funny lines that you remember from that. I guess what, they'll ban that movie too because it's somehow offensive? Same thing with the over at the NFL where I haven't spent any money. I won't be spending any more money. I am done with the NFL. I have been. That's just me, friend. You can do whatever the heck you want. It's a free country, and it's their business. They can shoot themselves in the foot as many times as they want. And with this whole thing, and I know you've seen it, this whole dual national anthem thing that they want to do with a black national anthem, which I didn't know even existed until this thing came up, of late, all this unrest, and the national anthem. Again, further dividing our country. Not uniting our country, but doing their part to segregate the way that we think and our community. It's not helping. Even less now, there's no way I'm getting my mojo back to watch the NFL. The Washington Redskins. Yeah, that name change likely will happen before anything else, the name change for the Washington Redskins. You know, I thought to be named after something, after someone, to carry that name, that represents, it's supposed to represent, what do you think, respect and pride and power, right? It's supposed to denote prowess and might. In the end, depending on the name that you assume, you know, the Spartans or, you know, the juggernauts or whatever it is that you assume, it, in part, if you're any good, well, your name's also supposed to be part of that recipe that instills fear in your opponents. Here, you know, here come the Spartans, you know, or here come the juggernauts or whatever it is that, you know, here come the Redskins, and man, we're going to get scalped. Or did I just say something I shouldn't say on the radio? I mean, it's you got to watch everything that you say now. Which, by the way, I'm convinced that under the wrong administration, where the uber leftists take over and declare certain things hate speech, that there is no such thing. That's one thing I agree with Dana 100% and everybody in libertarian universe. There is no such thing as hate speech. It is all speech, but it has been declared hate speech by individuals who wish to control you. And in the end, once they control the language and they control you, they will control this media. I am convinced, Ren, that under the wrong administration, under the wrong power structure, what they tried under Obama early on to take out talk radio, to take the commercial incentive out of talk radio by putting lefties equal time with folks on the right in this one media war, where the lone island, talk radio, news radio, talk radio, even the podcast is the only medium for liberty-minded individuals to speak to one another and to communicate with one another and to proclaim truth, the universal truth of liberty and all of its fruits. I'm convinced they're going to be gunning for this industry and to do everything in their power to take it down and destroy talk radio, the last island of liberty in the American communication landscape. I don't want to go too much on the whole Black National Anthem thing. They're doing it to themselves. I'm not spending any money on them. I'm also sad that the XFL is gone. That's another victim of COVID. I think I said this last time. XFL is supposed to be the competition to the NFL and provide me an alternative to talk about sports. Anyway, let me move on to other stuff. One of the big stories of the day was the high court decision on the Electoral College. That's one of the big breaking stories today. And because I'm convinced that in part, you know, the behind-the-scenes conversation that were taking place between the justices, I'm convinced all of them agreed that they needed to protect the Electoral College as provided to us by our founding fathers, our Constitution. That's the way we elect presidents in this country. Otherwise, there will be chaos. And there is evidence of chaos and unrest in numerous cities across the country. If Black Lives Matter, BLM, has been able to take down statues and seize city streets and allowed for the unprosecuted killing of retired police people and other people, other innocent people all over this country, attack police brazenly, boldly, just go up in their face and attack police officers across this nation just because the death of one man and his encounter with a police officer. And the argument, this lie of institutional racism that exists within the penal system and within the judicial system in our country, this institutional racism, just push the narrative without any data, without any proof to show that. Give you an example. There was a man on the street conversation, one of these online man on the street conversations with a major think tank in our country. I think it's either Heritage or someone on the right, asking young people at a campus, how many Black men do you think cops killed last year? One guy spouts, 1,500, at least 1,500 last year. How many unarmed Black men did police kill last year? At least 1,500, he said, where the actual number is like 9. And more white individuals who are unarmed get killed than Blacks. There's no data to prove all this institutional, entrenched racism within the judicial system and law enforcement system in our country. But it has taken off, and you can't call back that train. It's mainstream now. Because of all the violence that's taking place in our country, I'm convinced that even the super uber lefties on the court saying, man, we don't need an election where all this goes crazy and we get a bunch of chaos. So all 9 justices, Supreme Court justices, saying the Electoral College members, the electors, they are not free agents and they must vote based on the laws in their state. In other words, if the majority of the vote in California was for the Democrat, all electors must vote for that specific Democrat. If the election was won by the Republican in Texas, then all electors, the Republican electors, must vote for the winning Republican, period. I'm embarrassed to admit to tell you that in my corner of the world, one of the faithless electors, a guy who went rogue, Professor Green, here from a local college, he knew how to work the system, worked his way through a congressional district closer to the coast away from me, and he made it up to the convention and state, got appointed as an elector just to go to Austin after Donald Trump won, if he won, to be in Austin if Donald Trump won, and to cast his vote for Ron Paul, and he did it. And I remember this all. I remember the numerous phone calls from people at the state park, because I was chairman of the Republicans back then here in Deep South Texas. And all these people call me, ask, well, how's he going to vote? I say, I don't know. I don't know who this guy is. We've done interviews with him. He's a political science professor from the local college. I don't know who he is. I don't know how he got up there. And I figured out he went through another congressional district that was near us, because he had that one intention. If Donald Trump wins, I am going to be a faithless elector. Well, now states, they can go ahead and prosecute that in case they become a faithless elector. Whoever the state votes majority for, those votes go for the R or for the D, and all electors chosen by the Democrat Party or the Republican Party must adhere to the winning candidate, period. 20 minutes after the hour, you're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You want to join the conversation? 844-344-DANA.
Nearly a decade ago, Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, was founded by freedom-loving Americans to help you support the values in which you believe. A portion of every dollar earned goes to support organizations that fight for First and Second Amendment rights. Also, they support sanctity of life and the needs of veterans and first responders. For a limited time, you can take advantage of Patriot Mobile's Let Freedom Ring promotion. Now through July 11th, get incredible discounts, like a free phone, or get a free month of service and free activation. High-value commitment plans to fit your budget. Call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com and use promo code FREEDOM at checkout. Their U.S.-based sales and support team will help you get unlimited talk and data and no hidden fees on their dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks. Call today to get the biggest promotion of the year. 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com, promo code FREEDOM. Let freedom ring with Patriot Mobile.
It's The Dana Show.
Appreciate you tuning in. I'm Sergio, in for Dana today from her Southern Command office, McAllen, Texas, one of the faithful affiliates, KURV Radio here in South Texas. You know, this faithless elector thing, I can tell from my perspective as a former chairman for the GOP here in Deep South Texas and watching the state convention, and that one time in my life where I got to see how the electoral election party platform sausage is made from behind the scenes, and I can tell you, it's pretty ugly, but it's interesting. I needed to learn all that. One good lesson from all this, and I do hope that nationwide, both Democrats and Republicans have learned their lesson. I am not a fan of faithless electors. I know that for some people in the party, it's more, I don't know if you would call them libertarian-minded. They say, well, they need to express their own opinion. No, this is a party system. These are parties, and people who are chosen to represent the party need to adhere to what the party says and what the election. Because, see, the people who voted in the election and chose a party, you need to respect their choice. You represent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in your particular state who voted for a certain party. Then you need to vote for the candidate. It is chaos. I agree with the court. Absolutely, it is chaos if you do not adhere to those truths. And I do hope that in both parties, if there was poor vetting of electoral or elector candidates, that it has been corrected. Because around here, I got to see how this very savvy political science professor who knew how to game the system, he had plenty of experience working the GOP and other states when he came to Texas, was a local college professor. He knew how to sneak in through a weak point, make it to state convention, and be appointed an elector by showing some credentials. Hey, I worked really hard for the GOP. I got all this cred in other states. I'm a professor. Send me and I'll be faithful. And he lied. In other words, it's a lie. And it can be prosecuted now. Absolutely, it can and it should, in my opinion. All right, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Okay, some retailers say that there is a coin shortage as a result of COVID-19. U.S. Mint cutting production to keep workers safe, less coins in the system, they say. But really, it's not noticeable because everybody's paying with debit and credit card, especially if they're ordering in, right? And Broadway star Nick Cordero has died after a lengthy battle with coronavirus. He had it real bad. Only 41 years old. I'm sure it was underlying medical condition for him. He even had a limb amputated, Mr. Cordero did. You're listening to The Dana Show. Want to join the conversation? 844-344-DANA.
This portion of The Dana Show is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec. Visit us at KelTecWeapons.com.
Donald Trump chose the most grandiose symbol of U.S. imperialism on Earth to usher in a very on-brand, star-spangled spectacle.
The mother of all photo ops, Mount Rushmore. And we know why this president just can't resist going there.
President Trump will be at Mount Rushmore, where he'll be standing in front of a monument of two slave owners and on land wrestled away from Native Americans.
We have to acknowledge that Mount Rushmore is sitting on Lakota land.
The place Donald Trump is going to on Friday is stolen land.
Okay. He will inevitably and predictably
all right, Steve,
talk about...
That's good, buddy. That's good. Yeah, that's a collection of everybody on the left on, I believe, probably most of it on MSNBC, probably just a collection of a bunch of lefties wanting to tear down Mount Rushmore. Hey, Steve-O, you got... How quickly they changed their tune. Oh, by the way, I'm Sergio. And for our friend Dana. Thank you, Dana. Big hug to you and Chris and all the crew. You want to join the conversation? 844-344-3262. How quickly they changed their tune. Man, under Obama, because, you know, the great savior Obama, when he went, you know, celebrating the tune for, you know, Mount Rushmore, celebrating Mount Rushmore, and then... Donald Trump, of course, he can't, nobody on the left, nobody in media, the so-called mainstream media, can say anything good about Donald Trump. He shows up, oh, they're wanting to tear it down. At cut 12, Steve-O, Bernie Sanders back in 2016. Go ahead, buddy.
This is our country at its very best. What an incredible achievement.
Visiting Mount Rushmore today, Bernie Sanders taking in the majesty of the moment, this monument to four great American presidents.
Just the accomplishment and the beauty. It really does make one very proud to be an American.
Oh, look at that. Wow. That's when he still had an inkling of maybe 1/124th American blood in him, Bernie Sanders back then. Because, man, this election cycle, he went full throttle socialist communist. And this is the present Democrat Party. Democrat Senator Tammy Duckworth, who has been, I guess, been tossed around as a potential name, a potential person that could be on the Joe Biden ticket. Cut one, Steve-O. Senator Tammy Duckworth, she was being asked if she is open to all this crazy talk about tearing down the statues of George Washington, and I'm guessing by extension, Mount Rushmore, all that. Go ahead, Steve-O.
So that might be true, but George Washington, mm-hmm. I don't think anybody would call him a traitor. And there are moves by some to remove statues of him. Is that a good idea?
I think we should listen to everybody. I think we should listen to the argument there. But remember that the president at Mount Rushmore was standing on ground that was stolen from Native Americans who had actually been given that land during a treaty. And again, let's talk about the greater context of where we are in our country right now.
Yeah, well, we can have an open conversation about that. Senator Duckworth, the answer is no. N-O. No is the answer. Go back and listen to Bernie Sanders. Take pride in this country. Yes, there is a lot of history that we need to learn from as a nation and bring that to our children. Not only all the bad that is being used to indoctrinate our children to hate our country, which, by the way, reminds me, there was a write-up done on all these protests, a lot of these protests, not all, but a lot of these protests taking place in American cities. They found that by a 6-4 ratio, the people that were out there protesting and involved in hoodlum violence and destruction of property and attacks on individuals, by a 6-4 margin, it was white, young, white, educated people that have adopted this message, this anarchist message of take down America, take down the symbols, have co-opted the Black Lives Matter movement and with it have hopped aboard the BLM organizational train to destroy America, take down its history, to point to nothing but all the mistakes and all the bad. As I've said before, this relationship that we have as American citizens, now from my perspective, friend, the relationship that we have as Americans with our country, very similar to a marriage. Now, you could choose to always look at your spouse, your partner, always look at the bed. There's nobody perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect human being. I know that, you know, for example, in my eyes, perfection, that is my wife. She is a human being. You know, for her, I am, you know, the epitome of masculine perfection. You know, so I understand, baby. You know, just take a look at me. But I'm human and I make mistakes. Now, she could either choose to think of nothing but my mistakes, my yelling, my screaming, my flailing in the arms, me losing my temper for whatever reason. I could choose to think of, you know, whatever mistakes she's done, because she's never made any mistakes, but you know what I mean. You could either choose to only think of the bad or choose to forget all that, forgive all that, and look at the good. And in America, in our country, in our nation, there is so much good to look at. I believe that Americans are good people. The American people are a good thing. Yes, I know you guys from church going somewhere, but there is no one good, sir. No one but one. I hear you, friend, but please understand what I'm trying to say. The culture in this country is a loving culture. It is a generous culture. No other country on this planet provides more to charity and provides more gifts, more money to programs that feed the hungry and clothe the naked and provide missionary work and charity across the planet, trying to save people that have been caught in a sex slave or whatever is bad in the world. We as Americans, we come together and we open up our pockets like no one else. And it's not necessarily the super rich, the uber rich. They give a lot of money to their causes that they, you know, they want to save the polar bears, whatever. But it's the working people. It's the heart of this nation. We are the most generous country on the planet. And yes, we recognize that there were mistakes. But from the mistakes, we're supposed to learn how to not make those mistakes. And we have. Unlike other countries that are still stuck in the mud. They're still stuck in revolution. They're still oppressing people. There still is slavery on this planet. It's in other parts of the world. It's not here. At least not sanctioned by any state. Not sanctioned by any government or society. We're fighting the scourge of slavery. We work against that. We could do a better job, absolutely, in understanding as consumers how we're feeding into the slavery of sweatshops overseas and seeing who in industry is taking advantage of that and taking advantage of cheap labor, slave labor overseas. We can do a better job, but that's why I say the American people are good, because our tendency, our resolve is to move towards a direction that is better than we are now. We are less racist now than we were back in the 50s, 60s, definitely less than back in the 1860s during the Civil War. All this stupid talk about reparations and giving the black community in this country a big fat paycheck. That none of that makes sense to me, because in my opinion, if you were born in this country, if you are an American citizen, or you've been naturalized as an American citizen, friend, you've won the lottery. All this talk on the left about the lottery in life. You being an American citizen, you have the opportunities in front of you. How many individuals who I would refer to as ungrateful individuals in industry, in sports, in entertainment of all places, they're living their dream, living a creative profession, exercising their God-given talents and making millions upon millions of dollars, and at the same time turning around and doing their part to do nothing but think of what is negative, what is dark, what is a mistake in this country, and using their bully pulpit as a sports entertainment, as a sports entertainer, as a Hollywood entertainer, to use a bullhorn to tear down this country. They're biting the hand that fed them. If we lose America, where else do we go? What, Mexico? You want an example, a prime example of defund the police. Look at Mexico and you guys in the Midwest and up Northeast, other parts of the country, you have absolutely no perspective from my perspective. I grew up in Mexico and I live just north of Mexico. And on certain nights, from a few miles north of the river, in Reynosa, Tamaulipas, Matamoros, Tamaulipas, or areas in between southern and Mexico, just south of the Rio Bravo, south of the Rio Grande, you hear the sound of fireworks. Oh, they have leftover fireworks. I didn't know they celebrate the 4th of July in Mexico. They don't. That doom, 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 doom. That's the cartel fighting it out with the Mexican military, because the local police, they stink. Because the state police, they suck. They know police. They don't fund the police properly. And because they don't properly fund the police, there is no police just south of the border. It's the Mexican military. Mexico militarizing the border. Mexican military fighting the cartels, because the cartels rule everything south of the border. Is that what you want for our country? Lawlessness, mayhem, anarchy, the criminal element running things like Chaz, like CHOP. Where their cartels, their organizations are the ones who run everything. No, absolutely not. You can choose to either focus on all the negative, focus on all what's wrong, or you can choose to learn what is good about our country and silence, tune out all those messages. I like to believe, like I said last year, I like to believe that the American people will choose right this election cycle. I am not concerned. At this moment, I am not worried, because as crazy as the headlines are with all the violence and all the shooting and all the tearing down of statues and the riots and all this mayhem, I think by the millions nationwide, people are watching all those posts online on Twitter and Facebook, everywhere else, watching all the news feed and shaking their head and going, that's not right. And I'm not going to vote for that. And as long, and I'm convinced of, as long as Donald Trump owns the message of law and order, as long as President Trump says and continues to say, just like he did, and this was not a divisive message the president brought over at Mount Rushmore. Man, the so-called mainstream media, this leftist media, they are definitely in the pocket for the Democrat Party, talking about all this divisiveness that the president brought in a speech at Mount Rushmore. He's saying it the way it is. We will not stand for tyranny. We will not stand for these Marxists want to tear our country down. This is the Dana Show, 844-344-3262. Listen live online, danaradio.com. I'm Sergio, in for Dana today.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got about 6 minutes left this hour. Appreciate you tuning in to the Dana Show. Yeah, I'm not Dana. Dana should be back with us tomorrow, Lord willing. My name is Sergio from her Southern Command office on the U.S.-Mexican border. And speaking of the border, check this out. Yet another example of the Democrat strategy to win the White House, the Democrat strategy to retain the House, maybe even win the Senate. Just let them do it, man. Let them go full throttle. House Democrats, they control the House. House Democrats proposing legislation to cut funding to Immigration Customs Enforcement, ICE, and cut money to Border Patrol. The new legislation would downsize detention space, get rid of family detention altogether, as well as eliminate money for the border wall. You guys knock yourself out. Just go. You go. All they do is strengthen Donald Trump's position on law and order. And from the very beginning, his signature issue has been the lawless border with Mexico. We got too many openings. They need to be shut. We need a wall, just like, let's say, Chaz Chop up in Seattle. You know that little wall they put? Just like the Clueless News Network, CNN. You know that little fence, that wall that they put outside their big building in Hotlanta after all the protesters came and defaced the whole CNN lettering and there at the entrance? They were making a mess at the entrance at CNN HQ. Yeah, walls. Yeah, they work, don't they? Just let them be, man. Let them slit their own political throat. It's very clear to me, and I do hope that of the hundreds of millions of dollars that are in the Donald Trump war chest for re-election, that at this very moment, the minions that are running the campaign, are, especially in swing states, would take a little headline from the news like this one. Democrats proposing legislation to cut ICE funding. ICE, the same organization, goes out there and finds criminal illegal aliens. You know those individuals that are trafficking in children for sex trade, the traffic in women for sex trade, the individuals that have been running drugs back and forth, illegal immigrants, yeah, grabbing those individuals, kicking them out of the country, and yes, individuals who have overstayed their visa who should not be staying in this country. And Border Patrol, frontline uniform, green uniform people here, my friends here on the U.S.-Mexican border, on a daily basis calling, catching sex traffickers, drug runners, illegal immigrants from all over the world, catching. And at this moment, because of the COVID-19 thing, they catch, and under present rules, they return to Mexico. All these detention spaces that had to be improvised because the Democrats will do absolutely nothing. And the noodle spine Republicans that are not wanting anyone to get mad at them. What we need is President Trump to stay, in my opinion. He needs to stay in the White House. He needs to say more money for Border Patrol, more money for ICE. We need to defend the police, not defund the police. We need to observe law and order in our nation. Teach that to our children. That's what he stands for. That's the message that he needs to own, especially in swing states and swing cities right now that some of them are still burning. They got little hot fires in around town because of all the protests and all the violence this past weekend. All right, Steve, well, let's do some Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Let's see. A couple of old dudes in the news. This from Miami Beach at a housing complex. 72-year-old Nakum Gross on video appears to shove another senior citizen who is trying to hop aboard the elevator. The rules at the housing complex they were at is two people per elevator. The other dude, the 65-year-old dude, wanted to hop aboard, and he got pushed, violently pushed out. And anyway, the guy who was in the elevator, Mr. Nakum Gross, he's facing possible charges for, you know, all the violence inflicted. He said, hey, I was just trying to protect myself, you know, COVID. And something to think about before you jump into a warm lake. Health official in Florida confirming a case of rare brain-eating amoebas. The case of the Nagleria fowleri found in the Tampa area. Something to think about before you jump into all that water. This is the Dana Show. Talk line 844-344-DANA.
It's the Dana Show.
We are especially moved to be joined by the family of a great man, fallen officer David Dorn, a 38-year veteran of the St. Louis Police Department who was killed last month in the city he devoted his life to defending.
Standing ovation for retired officer David Dorn. One of the victims, forgotten victims of all this violence that has swept across our nation, this flailing emotion and this anarchy that is expressed in some cities, some U.S. cities, which, by the way, in my medium-sized market, I didn't tell you this before, here in Deep South Texas, the Black Lives Matter, BLM organization, and all those people that were organizing these marches, they had to bus in protesters to my market on the U.S.-Mexican border. You might remember a few days back, I shouldn't be laughing about this because the guy, He went ballistic. I referred to him as. Oh, by the way, I'm Sergio Sanchez in for our friend Dana. Thank you, Dana. Lord bless you, friend. Dana should be back with us tomorrow. You can catch her online and on TV and all her glory and splendor and beauty online and on cable as well. Meantime, you're stuck with me. And if you want to join the conversation, 844-344-3262. They had to, BLM had to bust in protesters. That was weeks back. And there's some guy who just saying, oh, hell no. He said, I'm not going to stand for any businesses being destroyed or people being attacked. And got a chainsaw. I call him the, how did I refer to this guy? I said he was the Texas Chainsaw Mexican. I referred to him. Downtown McAllen, he went after some of these kids who were just marching, just screaming BLM. And there were many of them bust in for the protest. But if you make the message clear that there is a choice between security versus chaos. There is a choice between defending the police versus defunding. There is a choice between defending Border Patrol and ICE and defunding that. And I think the choice is very clear. President Trump talking about David Dorn, this retired police officer, that at the outset of this violence that was sweeping our nation, this retired police officer, I believe he was trying to defend, was it like a pawn shop, a business of his friend? He already retired from the police force after years of service, serving the community as a peace officer, was shot in cold blood and left to die in front of that business. He's just one of many people who have lost their lives, and they get no parades. They get no marches. They get no protests. The 70-some-odd, 80 people in Chicago, Illinois, shot at the shooting incidents, and what was it, like 15, 16 killed in Chicago, Illinois. The killings in Atlanta, Georgia, all over the nation, protests, shootings, and killings. None of these people will be receiving any parades, any tributes, any protests. Black Lives Matter won't be there. Because, look, if all black lives truly did matter, you think that they'd be at the forefront right now demanding true change within their communities, bringing in pastors and, you know, quote-unquote people of faith, whoever's necessary to have that frank conversation, why they're doing that to themselves in the inner city, and try to find solutions, make sure kids stay in school, they do their homework, they pass their grade. They go to college. They get a marketable skill that they advance in this beautiful, wondrous country, the United States of America, that provides them an opportunity. Doesn't guarantee them financial success. Ain't going to be writing them a check. Oh, I sure hope not. Won't be writing them a check for some slave reparations that this generation has nothing to do with what took place 100-plus years ago. This country already paid for the sin, all the so-called original sin of slavery in our country. We led the way in the world. Yes, the Brits went a bit before we did, but you know, the Brits, when it came to compensating, and I learned this a few days back in an interview. I don't remember who was interviewing, but I found this fascinating. It was some professor, history professor, talking about how in England, who, you know, the England and the U.S., they were leading the world in getting ridding the world of slavery, where an individual had a right to own another human being as property. The U.K., well, the abolitionists, you know, they took care of that. But, you know, in reparations in England, you know who got reparations? It was the slave owners. They got reparations in England. Ain't that fascinating? Because, well, the owners lost their property, hence there was reparation for the slave owner. Ain't that just nuts? This country, our country was truly torn apart by a civil war. We were truly divided into two separate nation states, two separate presidencies, two separate armies, brother fighting against brother. This country paid for its sin with its blood. How many, what is it, 350, 360 some odd Union soldiers? How many black soldiers lost their lives? Yeah, the same black soldiers whose monument, remembering their sacrifice in the Civil War, fighting for their freedom, their very own monument taken down by these ignorants protesting this BLM thing and just involved in this craziness and this anarchy that's gripping our nation. I think the message is really, really clear. I am not afraid that President Trump is in danger of losing. Call me crazy. Call me blind. But I do not believe that in our country is that crazy to ignore what they they can see in plain sight in front of them. The fires and the anarchy versus lawful behavior. Peace officers maintaining the peace. Providing money for ICE and Border Patrol to secure the border versus defunding them and opening up the border just like we had about a year ago. You guys remember about a year ago? You've been paying attention to the news. About a year ago, my corner of the world, we were overrun by tens of thousands of illegal immigrants gaming the system. It was about a year ago, right now. We had local Border Patrol stations and all these places holding human beings that were crossing, asking for asylum, gaming the asylum system. There is no other word that I can use but to tell you they were gaming the asylum system. Remember the word caravans? Oh, we got another caravan coming to us from Central America. That is what awaits you. That is what awaits our country under Joe Biden, in my opinion. That is what awaits our country. Democrats hold the House, they get the Senate. And they keep fighting the president at every turn, and they even get the White House. It's open borders, friend. Right now, I think the count just south of my border, I mean, I don't want to say a wrong number, but I know it's north of 10,000. There are about 10,000 asylum seekers. These are economic refugees. Friend, if you're not familiar with this, people who come to our border, they can ask for asylum protection. If the way our laws are set up right now, they can ask if they are political, they're running from political persecution, they're running from religious persecution, and even some cases, people who are children or women who are victims of sex trade, they can ask for that protection. But not everyone who's waiting, the 10,000 plus who are waiting south of the border here, I think it's about 10,000 plus, who are have encampments just south of my border, waiting to get in. You put Joe Biden in the White House, you put Democrats, you give them more control of the House, and you give them the Senate. It's going to be open borders, baby. And there will be no change whatsoever to immigration law in this country so that the agencies properly filter in people who are victims versus individuals who are economic migrants who are fleeing the country just because they want a bigger, fatter paycheck, or because in their country they have not done their part to change their nation so that they actually have a viable police force. They have a government that has less corruption. All government is corrupt to some degree, but you know what I mean. Seizing the opportunities of life and liberty in their country instead of coming over here and getting a bigger, fatter paycheck, just working the system, asking for asylum status for protection, and getting in here and staying, not leaving anytime soon. All right, enough of that soapbox. I need to share some other stuff. I know there's other things you want to talk about. And if you want to join the conversation, just tell Steve, producer Steve, 844-344-DANA, 844-344-3262. Kanye West wants to run for president. Honestly, when I saw this trending on Twitter this past weekend, I thought it was a joke. I'm going, well, it probably still is. I mean, I'm still looking at the headline. I'm still kind of giggling and laughing at it. I'm thinking, what's this guy doing? But yes, he's good friends with Donald Trump. Yes, he supports Donald. He's wearing the MAGA hat. He's had an epiphany, politically speaking. And yes, I do believe that if Kanye West, who probably has shown up to the dance a little late, because he more than likely will, if he does intend to provide his filing fee or try to get on ballots. I think the deadline has come and gone for him to be named on the ballot. He probably could make a run as a write-in candidate. Anyway, Kanye West says he's running for president. He tweeted the announcement on the 4th of July, wrote that we must now realize the promise of America by trusting God, unifying our vision, building our future. And of course, you know, Kanye West, he's had plenty of meetings with President Trump and supports President Donald Trump. And some of the jokes that are trending online surprised people, like, really? He's serious about it? And then the other more surprised expression by another little cartoon they put on there. Does that mean that if he wins, guess who gets to be the first lady in our country? Oh, no. You can't have Kim Kardashian do that. You know who took him serious, or either that or he was part of the joke? Our new neighbor here in Brownsville, Texas, Elon Musk. He's got one of these rocket building facilities here on the Texas coast in Brownsville. Elon Musk. He announced as soon after Kanye West went online and said, I'm running for president. Elon Musk said, full support. Well, there you go, Elon. Maybe you can start up a super PAC and get some money for this dude. He's going to need it if he's going to be a writing candidate. And yes, likely siphon away votes from the left, maybe enough. If it winds up being a close race, maybe he can get a bunch of young ones to go in his direction. You never know. I just think it benefits Donald Trump. Let's see. I apologize for this story. I'm just mentioning it because it is yet another comical headline in politics from the Please Go Away file. Hillary Clinton wanting attention, just like I guess I thought Kanye West, he was just seeking attention. Hillary Clinton wanting attention as well. She's saying that she would have done a better job handling the coronavirus pandemic than President Trump. And when I was reading this little headline, one of the things that popped into my head was, you know how they write up stories of Donald Trump where they say, Donald Trump made this claim and without evidence, you know, that's the key words, and without evidence proceeded to make the claim. Blah, 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 blah. Well, how about we inject that little without evidence? So like, okay, Madam Secretary, want to be president, Hillary Clinton, what evidence? What are the ideas? What shoulda, coulda, what have you done different? She was on some podcast saying that she would have focused on fighting the health impact instead of the economic fallout. Okay, give me specifics. At a time when everybody's kind of learning as they go, kind of walking through, feeling their way in a blind room, this whole new novel coronavirus thing, China shuts down, Spain's dying by about 900 a day, Italy dying about 900 a day, same thing in France, about 700, 800 a day, everybody's shutting down, markets are collapsing all over the place. How exactly, Madam Secretary, would you have achieved this? Let us know so maybe we can apply this and save humanity from the coronavirus. Anyways, I think this woman, Hillary Clinton, she needs to be focusing. Her little handlers, her minions, they should be giving her a tutorial on how to do it like a TikTok video. I'm not in favor. I don't have a TikTok account. TikTok is a Chi-Com property, Chinese Communist property. You surrender your information to TikTok, you're surrendering your personal information to the Chi-Coms. That's just, I'm just saying that. But for her, she wouldn't have a problem doing the whole TikTok thing. I think her minions need to be focusing on getting her to do like a jig or something to distract people from that, what is it, Ghislaine Maxwell, that lady that might be talking here pretty soon if she survives, about maybe her husband and all the plane flights that he took to Pedophile Island. Anyway. 21 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. 844-344-DANA. I'm Sergio, in for Dana.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. And no, I'm not Dana on steroids right now, or male testosterone or male hormones. My name is Sergio. I'm in charge of the Dana Southern Command Office on the U.S.-Mexican border. At the studios of KURV Radio, we're just north of the river, blessed soil. We're in the U.S., we're Texas, double blessing. All right, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Hey, thanks for checking in with Steve, by the way. I forgot to mention the number again. You want to join the program, 844-344-3262. You guys hang on. Charlie Daniels is with Jesus now. Yeah, he's up there. Everybody's doing the Cotton Eye Joe right now, up in heaven. Charlie Daniels passed away at age 83. So big news today, Supreme Court, Electoral College stands. And even the uber lefties, everyone voted to make sure we don't have these faithless electors. You can't go rogue, man. It's a party system, like it or not. It's Democrat or Republican, or maybe someday we'll get a strong Libertarian Party, or I don't know, maybe the Greenies will get whatever. It's a party system. However, whichever direction your state goes, You designate electors, and those electors represent hundreds of thousands of people. You must vote your oath. Otherwise, you can be fined by your state. Yeah, I'm in favor of this unanimous decision by the High Court, speaking from a form of political working behind the scenes. Let's see. 11-year-old student from California has won a national history trivia contest. First one ever. Quade Kelly is his name. One of two winners, splitting $10,000. It's a history. Who was history B? And an Illinois museum saying the TV's Dukes of Hazzard car ain't going nowhere. But generally, they're going to keep that generally in their museum. Well, good for them. 844-344-DANA. This is The Dana Show.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's daily podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
This is The Dana Show from her Southern Command office on the U.S.-Mexican border. We're out here monitoring things, making sure we protect the border. My name is Sergio, and if you want to join the conversation, it's 844-344-3262. Let me clear the lines. Got a couple of good calls checking in right now. I've been holding on for a while. Let's go to Missouri. Ron is calling the Dana Show. What's up, Ron?
Not a whole lot. I'm glad the Supreme Court held line there on the Electoral College.
Oh, yeah.
But I was wondering about this winner-take-all that some states have with it. If more states get that, won't it just take away the Electoral College?
Yeah, I'd say... No, I got you, Ron. I'd say this decision... that is, in essence, it would be a batch full of faithless electors. Yeah, this is pretty much the High Court saying, no, you can't do that. If your state voted Democrat, then your electors, all of them, are Democrat, and your votes go to the winning Democrat. If you're Republican, same thing. So if these states who say, well, we're going to go with the majority winner, right? No, they can't do that. Because then that would mean the whole batch of electors would be faithless, right? And the High Court unanimously said, no, we can't have that. Unanimous. Ain't that something? Every single one. Like I said, first hour, I'm convinced behind the scenes, these High Court justices, they were talking amongst themselves and saying, no, can you imagine a scenario where, yeah, these states, they want to go rogue and they flip all their electors. They voted Republican, but they're going to give all their electors to the Democrats, all faithless, to the Democrats, because, you know, California and New York gave more overall votes to the Democrat. No, that's, can you imagine the rioting? Can you imagine the violence? Can you imagine the chaos? It was their word specific, the chaos that would ensue. That's why. Appreciate the call, Ron. We're staying in Missouri. It's Bert's. Welcome to the Dana Show. What's up, Bert?
Hey, Sergio. Excuse me. The Supreme Court ruling, that's really good to hear, too. But I was interested about in Seattle and a few other places where the democracy's really shown, become apparent. They took over the Chaz with democracy. You know, they even talked about the Democratic Revolution in France 200 years ago. I'm surprised more people didn't talk about democracy in action like that.
Are you in favor of what took place in Chaz/CHOP?
Absolutely not. That's okay. Why our founding fathers weren't really big on democracy. They were more into republics. Our revolution was democratic. The Congressional Congress started the revolution, not a bunch of people, a mob.
So you're saying that the whole democracy, you're pointing to France as an example of the chaos that ensued in France after they got rid of the king and the bloodshedding that took place right after their revolution versus the American Revolution, where we set up.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah. It was like a ruled revolution in France, but ours was very orderly, and we were following the people we'd selected to lead us, the Congressional Congress,
yeah,
more than the mob.
Do not expect the Democrat leftist so-called mainstream media to do any history lessons, do anyone a favor, do any history lessons on why America, the American experience in governance, is so unique and how a representative republic is different from the French Revolution. Don't expect them to do that. It does not fit their agenda. 844-344-DANA is the phone number if you want to join the program. This is the Dana Show. I'm Sergio in for our friend Dana. Human remains, West Texas, Fort Hood. Human remains found last week have been positively identified as that of missing Fort Hood soldier, Private First Class Vanessa Guillen. I'm just curious. I'm just wondering, where are the marches, the protests? Where's all that taking place right now? And that's, it's not just Vanessa. Let me see how I got. Yeah, here it is. I want to share with you a list that I find rather disturbing. Now, I found a write-up on violent incidents and death that has taken place over the past several months at Fort Hood, in and around Fort Hood in West Texas. So the human remains of this poor young woman, she was bludgeoned and her body just literally ripped to shreds. That's just all I'm going to say. Her family, Vanessa Guillen's family, through an attorney, they confirmed the news. It was her remains. Got tested. And they were found June 30th. She was found June 30th, shallow grave near a river. And I think there was some talk about how individual who killed her, they used cement and they chopped her all up. 20-year-old, beautiful young lady, this child, man alive, what a waste. Girl from Houston, was seen around lunchtime at the base, April 22nd. And this happened in the middle of the COVID darkness that we're all in, right? The Criminal Investigation Unit for the Army was saying that Specialist Aaron Robinson, I believe her immediate superior on the base, killed Miss Guillen with a hammer, disposed of her body, with the help of her friend, Guillen's best friend, they say, Cecily Ann Aguilar. I think this woman was she like a girlfriend to the alleged killer? The alleged killer killed himself. He shot himself when authorities were closing in on him. Cecily Ann Aguilar, who was supposedly the best friend of Ms. Guillen, has admitted to her role and faces federal charges. Robinson, the killer, shot and killed himself last week when he was in the process of being arrested. Very sad story, but she's not the only one. And I mention this because I know from time to time we get either some representatives from Washington or senators who check in and listen to the Dana Show. Guys, can you please check into what's taking place at Fort Hood? They're very emotional pleas from, yes, Ms. Guillen's mom and her family for the investigation and for somebody to be held to account and all that. But there's something going on at Fort Hood that is raising eyebrows, should raise eyebrows. I found a write-up on incidents and deaths around Fort Hood. It's a timeline that I think lawmakers should look into, friends. I think you need to listen to Ms. Guillen's family. Here's a simple write-up. For example, March 1st, Shelley Jones, 20-year-old, U.S. Army, gunshot wound, killed by gunshot wound, Killeen, unsolved homicide. Chris Sawyer, 29, U.S. Army, on March 5th, found unresponsive at an on-post residence under investigation. March 5th, Raul Torres, 24 years old, Fort Hood, U.S. Army, passed away while stationed at Fort Hood. Cause of death? Unknown. March 14th, Shaquan Allred, 23 years old, U.S. Army veteran, gunshot wound, Killeen, unsolved homicide. March 14th, Freddie De La Cruz, 23 years old, U.S. Army, gunshot wound, Killeen, unsolved homicide. March 25th, Victor D'Onofrio, 22, U.S. Army, died at Fort Hood, cause unknown. Yeah. Doesn't that seem like a lot in just a short amount of time? What is going on? Of course, Vanessa disappeared April 22nd. You know how everything turned out, just told you. And then you take this timeline and go back into last year. There's other incidents. It's like per capita, if you look at the death rate at Fort Hood, for all these unsolved deaths, is there something in the culture of this West Texas base that needs to be investigated Friends, I will leave that for people with a much higher pay grade. Please, you guys tuning in Washington, you guys need to look in and say something about what's going on in Fort Hood. We do need it. These lawmakers who do nothing but hate on Trump. You want to do something worthwhile? Not that like they're going to do it, but these Democrat lawmakers who have all these committees, you want to do something worthwhile? Look into all these deaths and try to get some answers. What's going on? Why all these deaths in such a short period of time? Let's see what else is here. Oh, this is from News You Need to Know. You might remember in the final approach in the fight to make gay marriage the law of the land. You know, they got these attorneys and this male couple. They're fighting for equal protection under the law because, it's you know, marriage is part of our laws, was then. And there was some arguments from individuals who wanted to preserve one man, one woman as marriage, not same-sex, you know, being declared marriage, or polyamorous relationships, you know, polygamy being declared. So, oh, that's ridiculous. You're making a straw man argument. How dare you say that, you know, our love is love. One man and man, woman, woman, love is love. How dare you bring in the whole polygamy thing or polyamorous relations? How dare you? Well, here it comes, people. Here it comes. Which, reminder, now this might be the time to extricate marriage from law in the land, because they came for it, they got it, because it's law. And if your definition of marriage is the traditional one man, one woman, might want to leave that in church and make sure that government doesn't have the teeth to come after you and, you know, prosecute you because you ain't thinking right. You know, it's just like lefties will do everything in their power to destroy talk radio. They tried it once under Obama. They failed miserably. Just like they might come inside your pews, come inside your church, and come to your altar, come to your podium is the word I'm looking for, and come for your sermons because you ain't preaching right. You're preaching hate because you don't accept polyamorous relationship. You won't marry polyamorous relationship. You won't marry a gay relationship in. So don't give the government power over you. And as I said earlier on the show, there is a separation. There's a church, there's a state. Let church be. There is litigation right now. There are lawsuits that are pushing back against all these governments that have demanded that churches shut down. In my opinion, that's wrong. I mean, not the litigation. I'm saying more power to the churches who are waking up and lawyering up and saying, no, government can't tell church to shut down. You can ask politely, but that's about it. Watch and listen for those cases that are moving through the courts in various parts of the country where local government said, you got to shut down. And they defied those orders. And those pastors were arrested. And police came in and broke those up. Government can't tell the church what to do. That's an infringement of First Amendment. They can ask politely, hey, folks, look, we got this whole COVID thing, and we can't see it, and young people get sick, and they sprinkle the COVID pixie dust on old people are dying, people that don't have immune compromised systems, they're dying as well at an unacceptable rate, and, you know, can you please not breathe on each other? Can you please not sing on each other? Can you please not congregate? And, you know, you can ask, but you cannot demand that the church do anything. That's my opinion. And if you think I'm ridiculous saying that they'll come to the altar and the podium, come after your sermons, you guys need to do a little more digging. Back in 2016, that was 2016, Houston, mayor in Houston, she was part of the LGBT community. She ran Houston, you know, did a good job. I'm not saying she was qualified to run Houston because I think she was a CPA and she was running the books, but she had a problem. Back then, the big fight was the bathrooms, right? The transsexual people using bathrooms of their choice. That was the big cultural fight back then. And the mayor in Houston, maybe she was an attorney. She tried to get the sermons of the Houston Religious Coalition and what they were saying, trying to get all that to go after the church. It's in their mindset. That is the liberal, that is the leftist DNA. They will come after you to shut you down. They will come after you to shut your churches down, to shut talk radio down. They've tried it before. Give them power. They will be inspired to try it again. This note from Somerville, Massachusetts, a Boston suburb, Somerville, believed to be the first city in America to legalize, recognize multiple partner relationships. City Council adopted a domestic partner policy that includes polyamory, the practice of having multiple intimate relationships with the full knowledge and acceptance of everyone involved. The Somerville law defines, see, it's law now. It's got some teeth to it. You give government that power to define that government can still come after you if you don't accept it. That's the problem that we seem to have these days. That's why I said just a moment back, I've come to learn through these years of observing and understanding liberty and more libertarian mindset. Yeah, this might be time to extricate marriage from law, because people will define it, redefine it, and demand that you kneel at that altar. And see, Somerville's law now defines a domestic partnership as an entity formed by people instead of an entity formed by two people. There you go. That's some of the trending stuff nationwide. 10 minutes to the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. And if you want to join the conversation, this is the final altar call. 844-344-DANA.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio in for Dana. Bless you, my friend. Hope you got some rest. And we're broadcasting the show today from Dana Southern Command, McAllen, Texas, studios of KURV. My Twitter handle is at Sergio Talk. You want to say hello. And appreciate the calls as well. In fact, let me clear one. He's been hanging on for a while. I had to check in a couple of times. Gary, he's in Missouri, right, Steve? Gary, welcome to The Dana Show. What you want to say?
Oh, I was just going to make a comment on you talking about if Biden was to get elected and they had made the comment about who would run this country. Well, you open the borders up, the cartel will be in here, and MS-13 will be trying to run the country.
Yeah. I tell you what, as soon as and look to his vice presidential pick. I don't hear anybody talking about that. I know it's gotten a few blips on the news radar. Whoever he picks, the black woman he picks, that woman will be president of the United States. He's warned you already. He said that person be ready to hit the ground running. Now, Steve, give me a warning. I forgot to turn on the clock. So just tell me a warning, minute warning 30. That way I can take care of it. I want to close on some happy thoughts. San Antonio Brewery unveiling a new beer that's based on Big Red. You like Big Red? Yeah, I like Big Red. I don't drink it because it's full of sugar, calories, like all sodas. I mean, that sucker is like pumped full of sugar, but also caffeine. It's like I got twice the amount of caffeine, and I'm already down like 4 or 5 cups a day. So a brewery, San Antonio, their Big Rojo beer. It's a Berliner, and they put a bunch of Big Red syrup in there. And good news from Walmart. They have chosen dozens of sites across the nation. In August, their parking lots will be converted into movie theaters. Ain't that a good idea? Like, as soon as they close down, like 8:30, 8 o'clock, whenever they close down, Supercenter, you can park, and they'll put a big screen outside, and it's like a drive-in theater. Ain't that cool? All right, Steve, well, let's do the stupid news of the day.
All right, Tammy Duckworth is out there. That's Senator Duckworth talking about tearing down George Washington.
So that might be true, but George Washington, mm-hmm. I don't think anybody would call him a traitor. And there are moves by some to remove statues of him. Is that a good idea?
I think we should listen to everybody.
I think we should. No is the answer, Senator. No. Hey, thanks for tuning in to The Dana Show.